This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وبعد. Since the weather condition has prevented, I believe, many people from coming, and we combined Maghrib with Isha with the excuse of snowfall. So what we're going to do, I was going to talk about the life of Imam al-Shafi'i, but because I know many people would like to be here when we talk about this, so we're going to give an alternative topic today, which will follow from the subject of today's khutbah, inshallah. Inshallah, next week we will talk about the life of Imam al-Shafi'i. The life of Imam al-Shafi'i is quite rich, and the details about it are so many. So this is why I didn't want a lot of people to miss it. So inshallah, we'll postpone it for next week, and we'll talk today about something that has to do with the prayer. And this is taken from the book Bayna Yaday Allah. Basically, could be translated in the presence of Allah. Ta'ammulatun fil ma'ani al-batina lis-salah. Contemplations or reflections on the deeper meanings of salah. So first, the first topic here, chapter here, talks about as-salatu wal-haya. So I'll be reading from the Arabic text, original Arabic text, and I will be explaining shortly, briefly, what this means, because it's quite simple and straightforward. As-salatu wal-haya. As-salatu sa'adatu al-qulub. أهل الصلاة أسعد الناس ينتظرون الصلاة بشغف وإقبال وقد أشربت قلوبهم محبة هذه العبادة الجليلة في وقت غفل الناس عنها وفرطوا في هذا الكنز الذي أنزله الرب من السماء. Basically, this says prayer, the prayer and life, the relationship between salah and life. It says the prayer is the reason or one of the main causes for the happiness of the hearts. It says the people of the prayer, the people who observe the prayer, they are the happiest among all humanity. They look forward to the prayer with so much eagerness and love. And the love of the prayer has been mixed with their hearts and with their flesh. At the time when most people have grown heedless and negligent of the salah, and they don't appreciate this great treasure that has been given to them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كم في صدور أصحاب القبور من آهات وحسرات على ما فاتهم من أسرار الصلاة وبركاتها يتمنى الواحد منهم لو يعود إلى الدنيا دقائق معدودة لتحلق روحه في سماء المناجاة وتطوف في جنات معروشات وغير معروشات وتتنسم عبير الجنات في هذه الدنيا قبل الآخرة. How many among the people who are today in their graves, people who have passed away, how many sighs and pains? You have people living in pain there. They feel the regret because they have missed a lot of the beauty of salah during their lives. So they wish that they could come back to this life just for a few minutes to fly in the horizons of conversing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to live in the garden and the paradise on earth, which are the moments of salah, and to smell the fragrance of paradise while engaging in the prayer in this life. As-salatu innaha a'zamu lahadhatil wujud wa arqa ahwal ar-ruh. Salah, these are the greatest moments of existence and life, and these are the highest states for the soul when it engages in salah. عندما يقف الإنسان بين يدي خالقه يناجيه ويتغنى بكلماته فتطوف معها روحه في الملكوت الأعلى. These are beautiful moments when man or when the human being stands in the presence or before his creator. He speaks with him and converses with him, and he recites the words of his own creator. So his soul flies in paradise, in the highest ranks in paradise, while he is still on earth. وَتُشْرِفُ عَلَى الْوُجُودِ مِنْ أَعَالِ الْجِنَانِ. So his soul looks at the earth and at existence from the heights of heaven in these moments. وَتَقْطِفُ الثِّمَارَ مِنْ تِيكُمُ الْأَفْنَانِ And it takes the fruits of paradise during the moments of salah. لَحَظَاتٌ لَا تُنْسَى تُسَاوِي الْوُجُودَ وَمَا فِيهِ These moments, these precious moments, they are more precious than the whole lifetime of a human being who does not know this. بَلْ هِيَ الْحَيَاةُ حَقِيقَةً This is the reality of life. You're searching for life, you will find it in the moments and the minutes in salah. وَمَا دُونَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأَوْهَامٌ وَأَحْلَامٌ Anything other than this is just a mirage and is just wishful thinking. There's a title here, أَرْوَاحٌ تَسْعَدُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَأَرْوَاحٌ تَشْقَى بِالْحِرْمَانِ مِنْهَا There are souls that are happy with salah and there are souls that are struggling and living in pain because they know nothing about salah and the prayer. كَمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ عِبَادٍ لِلَّهِ تَجُولُ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ بَيْنَ أَغْصَانِ الْجَنَّاتِ لِأَنَّهَا أَدْرَكَتْ سِرَّ تِلْكَ الصَّلَوَاتِ فَطَارَتِ الْقُلُوبُ إِلَيْهَا وَتَعَلَّقَتْ بِكُنُوزِهَا وَأُشْرِبَتْ حُبَّهَا فَمَا عَادَتْ تُطِيقُ الْحَيَاةَ إِلَّا فِي رِحَامِهَا He says, How many of the servants of Allah on this earth, their souls are flying among the trees of paradise, among the branches of paradise, because they have figured out the secret of salah. They have come to grips with the secrets of salah. So their hearts always fly and jump forward and flow forward towards the salah, and the love of salah has taken root in their hearts. So they cannot live their life for so long away from the moments in salah.
وَرُبَّ مُصَلٍ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ يُؤَدِّي ظَوَاهِرَهَا وَحَرَكَاتِهَا وَيَلْهَجُ لِسَانُهُ بِأَذْكَارِهَا وَآيَاتِهَا وَلَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْهَا إِلَّا مَا تَرَاهُ عَيْنَاكَ
And how often you will find someone who engages in the prayer. He only does the external physical act of the prayer and his tongue recites the words and the adhkar. But the only thing he gets from salah is what you can see and what you can hear.
نَصِيبُهُ مِنْهَا حَرَكَةُ الْبَدَنِ
The only thing that he gets from salah is the movement of the motion of the body.
وَإِشْغَالُ الْوَقْتِ
And the occupation of time. That's it.
تَرَاهُ قَائِمًا رَاكِعًا سَاجِدًا وَقَلْبُهُ لَاهِنْ
You find him standing, bowing and making sujood, but his heart is somewhere else. His heart is not present in the salah.
لا هم له إلا في حظ من الدنيا قليل
His heart is engaged in matters of this dunya Something about this dunya
وكثيرها قليل
And the big things about this life are just tiny and small There's nothing really precious about this life
فجسده في واد وقلبه في واد
You will find his heart is in one world and his body is in another world So his body is in salah but his heart is with the dunya
صلاته بدن بلا روح
His prayer is a body without a soul
وشجرة بلا ثمرة
And a tree that has no fruits
وكم في الأرض من محروم لم يرى في الصلاة إلا تلك الرسوم
And how often you will find on earth people who are deprived Why? Because they thought the salah is only this physical act
منزوعة من روحها وسرها المكتوم
That has no soul and has no spirit
فظنها مجرد حركات وتكليفات فأعرض عنها وضيعها
So he thought salah is merely a physical act So he thought salah is not really important It's not, So why should I engage in it? So he left it altogether He said it's just a physical act So I don't need it
يا لله ما أشد فاقته
He's basically saying how great His sense of deprivation is, this man has deprived himself of so many great blessings.
ما أصعب حالته,
how difficult is his state. Difficult is his life.
يمشي مكبا على وجهه, بحثا عن الفرح الموهوم.
He walks around the earth searching for happiness, searching for more, thinking this is where he will find happiness.
وما درى أنه أضل حاجته وراء تلك الرسوم.
And he doesn't know that what he is searching for, It's actually behind this physical apparatus of the salah. What the happiness he's searching for, the meanings he's searching for, he's trying to get it in this dunya, actually, it lies beyond the physical acts of the salah. If he manages to search beyond that, but he doesn't know this fact. وَرَامَهَا فِي غَيْرِ مَضَانِّهَا فَصَارَتْ حَيَاتُهُ مَرْتَعًا لِلْهُمْ So he sought this happiness in something other than the prayer. So all his efforts will go in vain. إِنَّ لِلصَّلَاةِ كُنُوزًا وَأَسْرَارًا For the salah there are treasures, there are secrets behind it. لَا يَنَالُهَا إِلَّا مَنْ أَخْلَصَ فِيهَا The only ones who will get these treasures are the ones who put their hearts and their sincerity in the salah. وَصَدَقَ فِي نَوَاحِيهَا And they put their effort and their focus in the actions of the salah. وَرَامَ قَلْبُهُ إِدْرَاكَ خَوَافِيهَا And his heart aspires to know what is beyond all of this physical acts of the salah. الْحَيَاةُ شَقَاءٌ مِّن دُونِ الصَّلَاةِ Life is misery without salah, without connection to Allah. لَا طَعْمَ لِلْحَيَاةِ مِّن دُونِ الصَّلَاةِ There is no taste for life without salah. إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ حَيَاةً حَافِلَةً بِالْحِرْمَانِ وَالْجَفَافِ Except if you're searching for a life that is empty, that is dry, and has no meaning. تَتَرَفَّعُ عَنْهَا حَتَّى الْبَهَائِمُ الْعِجَافِ Even the animals would not aspire such a dry and empty life. الصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ فِي الْقَلْبِ The salah, prayer, is light in the heart. وَرَاحَةٌ فِي الضَّمِيرِ And comfort in the consciousness and in the chest. وَصِحَّةٌ فِي الْبَدَنِ And health in the body. وَرُقِيٌّ فِي الرُّوحِ And elevation of the soul. وَسُمُوٌّ فِي الْخُلُقِ And enhancement of good character. وَانْعِتَاقٌ مِنَ الْأَغْلَالِ And liberation and freedom from the shackles. وَانْطِلَاقٌ فِي آفَاقِ الْحَيَاةِ And it is life. It is more about engaging at a higher level with life. كان بعض السلف يحب الصلاة إلى درجة أنه يرجو الله أن لا يحرمه الصلاة بعد موته. Some of the early generations loved salah and prayer so much that they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow them to pray even after their death. فكان يخشى أن يقطعه الموت عن مناجاة ربه والتلذذ بالوقوف بين يديه. So this person, he feared that if he dies, that he would not be able to engage with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah and connection. فهذا ثابت البناني ثابت البناني one of the تابعين one of the scholars of hadith. ثابت البناني رحمه الله يقول اللهم إن كنت أعطيت أحدا الصلاة أحدا من خلقك الصلاة في قبره فأعطنيها. Oh Allah, if you have given any of your creation the ability to pray in the grave after they die and they go to the grave, oh Allah, give it to me as well. Give it to me as well. So this person didn't want death to stop him from salah. Why? Because he found his heart in it. He found so much enjoyment and so much meaning in it. فضل الصلاة في الإسلام The station or the position of salah in Islam. الصلاة أجل العبادات والقربات Salah is the best of all acts of worship. مكانة الصلاة في الإسلام عالية The position of salah in Islam is so high. وَلَا يُدَانِيهَا نَوْعٌ مِّنْ أَنْوَاعِ الْعِبَادَةِ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَنْزِلَةِ الْعَظِيمَةِ And there is no act of worship that is similar to the prayer in that level. فَهِيَ وَاسِطَةُ بَيْتِ الْإِيمَانِ It's the main pillar in Iman. وَعَمُودُ فُسْطَاطِهِ It's the foundation. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إِنَّ خَيْرَ أَعْمَالِكُمُ الصَّلَاةِ Indeed, the best of your actions. The best thing you can do is salah, is the prayer. And this is reported by Ahmad and Ibn Majah with an authentic chain of narration. As-salatu imadu al-deen. Salah is the foundation of the religion. Wa'isamu al-yaqeen. And it is the avenue to certainty and trust in Allah. Wa'ra'su al-qurubat. And the most important of all acts of worship. Wa'ashharuha fil-nas. And the most known to all people. وَأَنْفَعُهَا فِي النَّفْسِ And the most beneficial to the self and the soul. وَلِذَٰلِكَ اَعْتَنَى الشَّارِعُ بِبَيَانِ فَضْلِهَا وَتَعْيِينِ أَوْقَاتِهَا This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in details, He explained how the prayer should be performed in terms of time, in terms of conditions, in terms of obligations, in terms of pillars and so on and so forth.
وتعيين أوقاتها وشروطها وأركانها وآدابها ورخصها ونوافلها اعتناء عظيما لم يفعل في سائر الطاعات وجعلها من أعظم شعائر الدين. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salah to be one of the most important signs of iman. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ said, العهد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة. The covenant, the agreement between us and them, any human being, is salah. فمن تركها فقد كفر. A person who leaves salah, stops observing salah, then he has fallen into disbelief. Very serious issue. قال المروزي, one of the scholars, المروزي said, ولم يفترض عليهم بعد توحيده والتصديق برسله وما جاء من عنده فريضة أول من الصلاة. The first thing or the main obligation that Allah made after tawheed, after believing in Allah, is salah. So it's the most important act of worship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, قال الله لموسى إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. Allah said to Musa alayhi salam, it is me, Allah. No one has the right to be worshipped but me. So worship me and establish the prayer for my remembrance. That's the first thing Allah commanded Musa alayhi salam with. As-salatu wa tawheed. The relationship between salah and tawheed. Oneness of Allah. لَيْسَ فِي الْوُجُودِ أَحْلَى مِنْ ثَمَرَةِ الصَّلَاةِ فَهِيَ رَمْزُ الْعِبَادَةِ الْخَالِصَةِ لِلَّهِ وَحْدَهُ. There is no fruit in life that is sweeter than the fruit of salah. Because it is a symbol of tawheed. Salah is the symbol and manifestation of Tawheed. وَهِيَ التَّجْسِيدُ لِعَنَاصِرِهِ. And it embodies and explains the reality of Tawheed. So Salah is a physical and verbal manifestation of belief, of your belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهِيَ تَعْبِيرُ النَّفْسِ عَنْ تَوْحِيدِهَا لِلَّهِ. So when the self wants to express its worship to Allah and its love for Allah, Salah is the way to do it. Salah is the way to do it. فَتَرَى إِقْبَالَ الرُّوحِ عَلَى بَارِئِهَا. So you see how the soul is running towards Allah in salah. فِي أَحْسَنِ صُورَةِ فِي أَحْسَنِ صُورِهِ وَأَبْهَى تَجَلِّيَاتِهِ. So you'll find the soul expressing itself in salah in the best of shapes. لِذَلِكَ كَانَتِ الصَّلَاةُ عَمُودَ الدِّينِ وَأَصْلَهُ الْمَتِينِ. This is why salah is the main pillar in Islam. وَهِيَ أَوْسَعُ أَبْوَابِ الْخَيْرِ. It is the biggest door to goodness. You want goodness, you want reward from Allah, you will find it in salah. You want, you know, self-cultivation, you want to grow your iman, you will find it in salah. Al-muhafazatu 'ala as-salati min a'zami sifati al-mu'minin. So observing the prayer is one of the main descriptions of the believers. Wa iqamatu as-salati 'ala wajhiha a'zamu awsafi ahli al-iman. Establishing the prayer is the main description of the believers. إِذْ هِيَ عِنْوَانُ صِلَتِهِمْ بِالرَّحْمَنِ. Because it is the title of their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ مَحَاسِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مُبْتَدِئًا بِالصَّلَاةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described the believers and the good things about them, He started with the salah. So He said, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The believers are the successful. And the first description Allah says, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. They are the ones who have khushu' in their salah. As-salatu miqyasu islam al-abd. Salah is the parameter or is the gauge of your iman. Salah is the gauge, is the accurate gauge or indicator of the level of your iman. Salatu al-abdi awdahu al-alamati ala islamihi lillah wa istislamihi li amrih. Salah is one of the clearest signs of your belief and submission to Allah. نقل ابن القيم عن الإمام أحمد قوله. Imam al-Qayyim narrated from Imam Ahmad his statement. إنما حظهم من الإسلام على قدر حظهم من الصلاة. Your share of Islam is proportionate to your share in salah. That means the quality of your salah and the amount of your salah will show how much Islam you have. As simple as that. You want to know how much Islam you have, how much iman you have, look at your salah. In terms of quality, is it good? The better the quality of your salah, the higher your iman is. The more you pray, the more iman you actually have. As simple as that. There's no, you know, tricks around it. It's so simple. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, فَعْرِفْ نَفْسَكَ يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ Ibn al-Qayyim says, so know yourself. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ حَظَّكَ مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ وَقَدْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ عِنْدَكَ بِقَدْرِ حَظِّكَ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ وَقَدْرِهَا عِنْدَكَ
You want to know how much your share of Islam is, how much Islam you have. Look at how much you value the prayer. As much as you value the prayer, this is how much Islam you have.
وَحْذَرْ أَن تَلْقَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَا قَدْرَ لِلْإِسْلَامِ عِنْدَكَ
And be careful, should you return to Allah when you have little or no value for Islam in your heart.
فَإِنَّ قَدْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ فِي قَلْبِكَ كَقَدْرِ الصَّلَاةِ فِي قَلْبِكَ
So the value of Islam in your heart is identical to the value of salah in your heart. As simple as that.
لذلك كانت الصلاة محك أحوال الصادقين وميزان أحوال السالكين.
So he's saying here, salah is the real test for your iman. There is no better test or more accurate test for your iman better than the salah. Salah is the best test.
And this is why قال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه عمر رضي الله عنه said إن أهم أموركم عندي الصلاة.
The most important of your affairs to me is salah.
فمن حفظها وحافظ عليها فقد حفظ دينه.
So whoever observes it and maintains it, then he has preserved his religion.
ومن ضيعها فهو لما سواها أضيع.
And whoever lets go of the prayer, he doesn't observe it, then he has wasted the rest of the religion as well.
الصلاة دليل على محبة العبد للرحمن.
Salah is the real proof that you actually love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اسْتِعْمَالَ الْمَرْءِ لِوَقْتِهِ دَلِيلٌ عَلَى وُجْهَةِ قَلْبِهِ وَمَحَبَّتِهِ
He says here, the way you use your time, how you use your time, shows exactly the direction of your heart. Where is your heart going? How you use your time, that shows exactly where your heart is going.
So he says, فَكُلُّ مُحِبٍّ يَسْعَى فِي قَضَاءِ أَكْثَرَ مَا يُمْكِنُ مِنْ وَقْتِهِ مَعَ مَنْ يُحِبُّ
وَفِي مَا يُحِبُّ The person who loves something or loves someone, they are so keen to invest their time in what they love and with the one they love.
ويحرص أن تكون هذه اللحظات أحسن الأوقات له ولمحبوبه فقلبه حاضر فيها.
So he says the person who loves, they put their time where they love and with the person they love, and they make sure that this time they spend with the one they love is the best of time. So they are present, they are there. So they're not just present with their body, but they're present with their heart and their mind.
So he says, والذي يحب الله تراه يحب قضاء وقته في الوقوف بين يدي مولاه ويسعى أن تكون هذه خير أوقاته.
So the one who loves Allah, he loves to spend his time standing before Allah in salah. So the person loves Allah, they love to stand in the presence of Allah in salah. And they strive to make these times, these moments of salah, the best time in their day.
فيكون فيها كامل الحضور.
So they are fully present in these moments.
وعقله بقلبه وعقله وكل حواسه.
So their heart and their mind and their soul are all present in this moment. وهذه علامة الإيمان. And this is a sign of belief and faith.
فانظر إلى وقتك.
So look at your time. Check your time.
أين تضعه وفيما تقضيه.
Where do you put your time? Where do you spend your time? Where do you tend to spend your time?
هذا الذي ينبئك عن حقيقة من تحب.
This is the indicator that tells you truly who you love. So where do you put your time? What do you invest it in? That tells you who you truly love. So we might be making claims. I love this. I love Allah. I love. When you love a person, you say, "Oh, I love this. I love you, and I value you." Right? But if you don't strive to spend time with that person, these are just, you know, claims. These are just claims. When you love someone, you want to spend time with them. When you love something, you love to engage in it and spend time in it. That's a reality you cannot avoid. But if you casually spend time with someone, you don't have so much love for them. You don't have so much love for them.
So he says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مُحِبًّا لِلَّهِ فَإِنَّكَ تَرَاهُ يَسْعَى لِيَكُونَ جُلُّ وَقْتِهِ فِي الْقُرْبَى وَالزُّلْفَى إِلَى مَوْلَاهُ.
The one who truly loves Allah, you will find this person striving to find opportunities to come closer to Allah and do things that Allah loves.
وَمَنْ كَانَ مُحِبًّا لِلدُّنْيَا,
but who loves this dunya, this life,
تَجِدُهُ يَسْعَى فِي أَنْ يَقْضِيَ جُلَّ وَقْتِهِ فِي مُبَاشَرَةِ مَا يُحِبُّ مِنْهَا.
The one who loves something from this dunya, you will find them putting their time in the things they love. People love sports, they're going to put their time in sports. People who love, you know, video games, they're going to put their time in video games. People who love poetry and literature, they will put their time in poetry and literature. People who love watching, you know, football, soccer and basketball, you'll find these people, because they love these sports, they're going to put their time watching these and maybe playing them, right? People who love reading and education, you will find that they put their time in what they love. So how you spend your time and where you invest your time shows you exactly what your heart really loves. Period. There's no joke about it. You know, it's so such straightforward and such so clear. It's as simple as that.
As-salatu asasu qabul al-a'mal.
Salah is the foundation or the condition for other actions to be accepted.
ولمكانة الصلاة عند الله عز وجل علق سبحانه قبول أعمال العباد على قيامهم بالصلاة.
Because salah is very important for Allah, then Allah made it a prerequisite and a condition for the acceptance of all other actions.
فمن أراد لأعماله القبول عند ربه وطمع بأجرها فعليه أن يوجه همته إلى الصلاة.
So if someone wants Allah to accept their deeds, they should make sure and put their attention that their salah is actually in good shape. If your salah is in good shape, the rest of your actions will be accepted. But if the salah is not in good shape, you will be in trouble.
يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم says, أول ما يحاسب العبد به يوم القيامة الصلاة.
The first thing the person will be questioned about on the day of judgment is الصلاة, the prayer.
فإن صلحت صلح سائر عمله.
So if the salah is good and sound, then the rest of the actions will be okay, will be accepted, will be sound.
وَإِن فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ سَائِرُ عَمَلِهِ.
But if the salah is not valid, it's not prayed well, and it's corrupt, then the rest of the actions will also be corrupted. So someone might be doing a lot of good actions, but if the salah is not in good shape, these actions will not be accepted.
As simple as that. This hadith is authentic. وَصَلَاحُ الصَّلَاةِ يَكُونُ بِإِقَامَتِهَا وَالْمُحَافَظَةِ عَلَيْهَا.
So how do you guarantee that your salah is actually in good shape, is valid?
يَكُونُ بِإِقَامَتِهَا, by establishing it.
So you actually pray, you physically pray.
وَالْمُحَافَظَةِ عَلَيْهَا, and observing it in its times.
You pray, the salah is not like I pray asr but I don't pray dhuhr. No, you pray all the salawat.
وَإِقَامَةِ حَقَائِقِهَا,
and that you establish its conditions. So you pray well, physically and verbally.
وَمُرَاعَاتِ مَعَانِيهَا الظَّاهِرَةِ
وَالْبَاطِنَةِ, observing the external aspects of the salah and the inner aspects of salah. What are the inner aspects? Your focus, your khushu', feeling the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the salah. This is what, these are the things that make salah accepted. Because if you pray only physically, Allah knows how much you're getting from your salah. Allah knows.
الصلاة جنة الله في الأرض.
Salah is paradise on earth. Salah is paradise on earth.
قال ابن القيم, ابن القيم says, الصلاة قرة عيون المحبين.
The ones who love Allah, Salah is like a garden for them. It's like a garden for them.
ولذة أرواح الموحدين.
The people who have tawheed, they will find so much sweetness in Salah. وبستان العابدين. For the worshippers, Salah is the best place. Is the best place.
وَثَمَرَةُ نُفُوسِ الْخَاشِعِينَ.
Salah is also the best fruit of khushu' and connection to Allah.
Then, وَالنَّاسُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ يَتَفَاوَتُونَ أَعْظَمَ التَّفَاوُتِ.
People in salah are different levels. Different levels.
فَمِنْهُمُ الْغَانِمُ وَمِنْهُمُ الْغَارِمُ.
Some people, they get so many good things from salah, and some people are actually making salah and getting sins.
مِنْهُمُ الْغَانِمُ وَمِنْهُمُ الْغَارِمُ.
Some people will be praying and getting rewards. Some people will be praying but getting sins. How is this? He explains, وَلَيْسَ مَنْ كَانَتِ الصَّلَاةُ رَبِيعًا لِقَلْبِهِ وَحَيَاةً لَهُ وَرَاحَةً وَقُرَّةً لِعَيْنِهِ وَجَلَاءً لِحُزْنِهِ وَذَهَابًا لِهَمِّهِ وَغَمِّهِ وَمَفْزَعًا لَهُ إِلَيْهِ فِي نَوَائِبِهِ وَنَوَازِلِهِ كَمَنْ هِيَ سُحْتٌ لِقَلْبِهِ وَقَيْدٌ لِجَوَارِحِهِ وَتَكْلِيفٌ لَهُ وَثِقَلٌ عَلَيْهِ فَهِيَ كَبِيرَةٌ عَلَى هَذَا وَقُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ وَرَاحَةٌ لِذَلِكَ. So he says, the person who finds sweetness, for him salah is the spring of his heart, and it brings life to his existence, and it removes his pains and his worries, and he comes to it at the times of hardship. He finds the salah as the safe resort and the safe haven during the difficult times. This person is not like the person who sees the prayer as a burden that he just wants to get rid of. And he finds the salah more of a constraint upon him. And that it is... Yeah, so he says basically, for the second person, for the latter, it is a burden and it's a huge obligation. But for the first one, the one who loves it, it's actually an act of elevation and transcendence. These are the words of Ibn al-Qayyim. So this is why the scholars, just to elaborate on this, some scholars said the person who prays only with their body and they're thinking about other things in salah, some of those people might be sinning. Why? Because you are standing in the presence of Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا قَامَ الْعَبْدُ يُصَلِّي أَوْ إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَنْصِبُ وَجْهَهُ قِبَلَ عَبْدِهِ مَا لَمْ يَلْتَفِتْ. When you stand up in salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala erects His noble face in front of you in salah. So Allah faces you in salah in a way that befits His majesty. We cannot understand this with our minds, but our hearts know that. Unless you turn away from Allah. Unless you turn away from Allah. So imagine you are standing in Allah's presence, Allah is paying attention to you, and you are thinking of someone else. If I'm having a conversation with you, a chat, we're chatting together, I'm talking to you from my heart, or you're talking to me, and your mind is somewhere else, and I can see the signs. Isn't that disrespectful? I would feel offended. I'm talking to you and you're not even there. Why? Because your mind is with someone else over there. Husbands, try this with your wife. She's talking to you and you're thinking of something else. And she tells you, you're not with me. You say, no, I just thought of something. Believe me, she won't talk to you for 2-3 days. Right? Why? Because it's offensive. It's offensive. I'm talking to you. You're talking to me, but you're not paying any attention. Your mind is, you would rather be with someone else. So you are standing in Allah's presence, but you'd rather be with someone else. See how rude that is? So that's why with these people, the scholars said, some of these people might actually be sinning, because they pray because they just have to pray. But they don't see it as a good investment. They don't even give any value to it. They don't even feel that they are in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Okay. As-salatu nurun fil qalbi wa ishraqun fil wajhi. Salah brings light into the heart and it brings beauty to the face. It brings beauty to the face. How? قيل للحسن البصري رحمه الله ما بال المجتهدين بالليل من أحسن الناس وجوها أو المتهجدين بالليل من أحسن الناس وجوها. Hasan al-Basri was asked, someone asked him, he said, why do the people who pray at night, why do they have the most beautiful illuminated faces? There's light in their faces. Why? He says, لأنهم خلوا بالرحمن فألبسهم من نوره. He said, because they stood in the presence of Allah alone, so Allah gave them some of His light. Allah gave them a light from Him, so their faces illuminated. فَالصَّلَاةُ تَعْمُرُ بَاطِنَ الْمَرْءِ وَظَاهِرَهُ بِالْحَيَاةِ. Salah brings about life to your inner state and to your outer state, external state. فَيُشْرِقُ وَجْهُهُ
وَيَسْتَنِيرُ قَلْبُهُ.
So the heart, the face enlightens and the heart is full of light. قال سعيد بن قال سعيد بن المسيب رحمه الله. سعيد بن المسيب, one of the تابعين, he says,
إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُصَلِّي بِالْلَّيْلِ.
A man prays at night. فَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ فِي
وَجْهِهِ
نُورًا. So Allah brings light onto his face because he prayed at night.
يُحِبُّهُ عَلَيْهِ كُلُّ مُسْلِمٍ.
Every Muslim who sees him, he likes him. That's because of salah at night.
فَيَرَاهُ مَنْ لَمْ يَرَهُ قَطُّ.
So someone meets him and he sees him for the first time. فَيَقُولُ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. Someone sees him for the first time, he says, Wallahi, I love this person. I feel I know him. I feel he's so close to me, but that's the first time I see him. Why is this? Because of this salah. When someone prays from their heart for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I just want to move, since we don't have so much time, to some of, he gives here six secrets to finding khushu' in salah. Six secrets that will help you find khushu' in salah. I mentioned two of them in my khutbah today. He says, I'm going to read something in Arabic and summarize it because it's beautiful and important. He says about salah, how people can find khushu' in salah. He says it's not easy. It's not easy. And that was done on purpose. It's not meant to be easy. But I'm going to read the Arabic a little bit, then summarize it in English. For the Arabs here, just to get a taste as well of it, those who understand Arabic.
وَقَدْ جَرَتْ سُنَّةُ اللَّهِ أَنَّ كُلَّ مَا عَلَى قَدْرُهُ وَغَلَى ثَمَنُهُ وَطَابَتْ ثَمَرَتُهُ يَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَا يَحْمِيهِ وَيَحْفَظُهُ وَيَحُوطُ مِنْ حَوْلِهِ وَيَسْتُرُهُ.
He's saying, the way Allah creates His creation is that whatever is valuable, whatever is precious, Allah doesn't make it easily accessible. Allah protects it. So you will find treasures and gold usually hidden and buried, right? Fruits, you will not find fruits being exposed like this. You have to peel them off. Why? Because this kind of skin protects them. Protects them. Usually when people have treasures, they don't expose them and put them in a visible place, right? They hide them. Precious things, that's a general rule, universal rule. Whatever is precious is usually hidden. He will explain why. He says,
وَهَذِهِ السُنَّةِ تَرَاهَا فِي الثَّمَرِ وَالْحُلِيِّ وَالْجَوَاهِرِ.
This rule, you will find it in fruits. Things are not easily accessed. And even the sweetest fruits, by the way, some of the sweetest fruits are not the easiest to grow. And some of these sweetest fruits, especially the exotic ones, tropical fruits, are actually very hard to get through. So even their skin is spiky. Their skin is spiky. So you have to go through so much pain to get that. So you will find this kind of rule in the fruits, and you will find it with gold and silver and precious stones.
وَحَتَّى فِي نَفَائِسِ الْأَفْكَارِ وَالْعُلُومِ.
And even in important sciences and knowledge is not easily accessible. You have to work your way through a lot of studying and work to get to the most precious pieces of knowledge and understanding. So if it's given to you easily, you would not appreciate it, you would not even know how to use it. You have to go through that, you know, through this skin. You have to go through a journey. So he says,
فَإِنَّ أَنفَسَ الْعُلُومِ يَرْبَأُ بِنَفْسِهِ أَن يَكُونَ فِي مُتَنَاوَلِ كُلِّ مُتَهَاوِنٍ كَسُولٍ أَوْ مُتَعَجْرِفٍ عَجُولٍ.
He says, the precious knowledge, it does not give itself easily, does not yield itself easily to lazy people or to hasty people. It does not.
جزاكم خير.
It does not yield itself. Precious knowledge does not offer itself. So if you are hasty, you want to get it overnight, or give me the most important thing about knowledge, I want to learn it overnight, you cannot get it. Knowledge will not yield itself to you. You will misunderstand it. As simple as any knowledge. If you try to learn knowledge overnight, you will misunderstand it. You will misconstrue it. You will not figure it out. Why? Because knowledge grows with time, with comprehension, with hard work, and over and over and over again, until your mind you know, finds its way around it, then it finds the secrets. So knowledge takes all of this work to really figure it out. So you can get the best type of knowledge, someone offers it to you, you cannot utilize it. You have to go through a journey. Okay? So it does not yield itself to someone who's hasty, and it does not yield itself to someone who's lazy, who's not seeking for it. It doesn't. So, بَلَّا بُدَّ مِنْ خَوْضِ غِمَارِ الْعُلُومِ وَالتَّدَرُّجِ فِي مَدَارِجِهَا وَاخْتِرَاقِ حُجُبِهَا وَأَسْتَارِهَا ثُمَّ بَعْدَ طُولِ عَنَاءِ وَصِدْقِ عَزْمٍ وَوَفَاءِ تَتَجَلَّى تِلْكَ الْعُلُومُ لِلطَّالِبِ الْمِقْدَامِ. That's beautiful. He says, there is no other way but to delve into the knowledge, into studying. Delve into studying. And taking it slowly, one step at a time, gradually, incrementally, you learn one level after the other, after the other, after the other. And then you will start breaking through the screens and the levels. Then after so much work and hard work and understanding and struggling to understand and figure out, and after remaining loyal to the knowledge and to studying, then all of a sudden, the precious knowledge and understanding will start to yield itself to you. Start to offer itself to you after all of this hard work. And he says, وَهَاكَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَعَ أَنْفَسِ الْعِبَادَاتِ وَأَغْلَاهَا لَا يَصِلُ لُبَّهَا وَيَعْرِفُ سِحْرَهَا وَيَدْلِفُ كَنَفَهَا وَيَسْعَدُ بِسِرِّهَا إِلَّا مَنْ صَدَقَ عَزْمُهُ فِي أَنْ يُقَدِّمَ مَهْرَهَا وَيَرْتَقِيَ مَدَارِجَهَا. He says the same thing applies to the most precious act of worship, which is salah. You cannot find sweetness in it. You cannot find khushu' in it. You cannot find the beauty of salah and the fruits of salah unless you do what? Unless you are truthful in your intention to get to the finish line with salah. So you're willing to put the work and the struggle and to offer its dowry, offer the mahar, as if it's like, you know, a wife that you want to marry. And she's not easily accessible. So you have to offer a big dowry, a big mahar, to really be able to get her. وَيَرْتَقِيَ مَدَارِجَهَا. And you have to go through the levels of salah, one after the other. Grow from one level to the other. وَيَبْنِيَ إِطَارَهَا وَقَلْعَتَهَا. And then by doing this, you're actually building a fortress around your salah. So shaitan doesn't access it easily. So all this hard work that you do to access salah and find its true spirit, this is not in vain. This will build a fortress and a citadel around your salah, so shaitan cannot come easily to you and distract you in your salah. So he's saying, وَيَبْنِيَ إِطَارَهَا وَقَلْعَتَهَا حَتَّى يَقْطَعَ عَلَى اللُّصُوصِ طَرِيقَ الدُّخُولِ عَلَيْهَا فَيَحْمِيَهَا مِنَ الْفَسَادِ. So when you do all of this hard work for salah and all this striving to understand salah and experience it at a deeper level, what happens? You are building this fortress that will protect your salah from the bandits, from the thieves. And that's shaitan who will basically distract you in salah. Then he says, فَيَحْمِيَهَا مِنَ الْفَسَادِ. So all of this work becomes a citadel around your salah to protect it from what is going to spoil it for you. That's the work of shaitan. وَمِنْ ثُمَّ يَخْتَلِيَ بِهَا فِي أَمَانٍ وَوِئَامٍ وَجَمْعِيَّةِ نَفْسٍ وَحُضُورِ قَلْبٍ بِلَا عَوَائِقَ أَوْ قَوَاطِعٍ. So when the person does all of this work and his salah is protected from shaitan and all distractions, now this person has a moment, a pure moment of one-to-one experience with salah. And he here is calling salah is his love, as a woman he loves. So now it's only him and his love. No one can break this kind of relationship now because it's protected. Yeah? And his heart is present in that moment with his love. And she is also responding. He's basically talking about salah in the she. Salah is also responding. She is giving him her love and he is giving her his love. In that moment of seclusion, there is no one to distract them. Okay? فَيَظْفَرُ مِنْ حَبِيبَتِهِ بِأَجْمَلِ الْغَرَامِ. So he gets from his love the best moments of love. He gets the best moments of love and intimacy. In terms of, he's talking about salah.
لا يحول بينه وبينها حائل.
There is no obstacle between him and salah, between him and that love.
مع اكتمال إرادته لها وإرادتها له.
When he wants it badly and she wants him badly. So basically he wants salah, he loves it so much, and salah loves him so much at the same time. So he's given life to salah in that description.
وتهيئ أحسن الظروف لهذا العناق.
And the conditions now are perfect for this kind of warm hug. Now there is a moment of unison and unity. Okay?
بلا خوف من ألم الفراق.
And there is no fear that there should be separation or they should depart from each other.
بل في حالة من امتزاج الروح والأجسام.
But it's a magical moment when body and soul emerge and become one.
ما لم يبدع البشر بعد لوصفه نوعا من البيان.
It's a state, he says, this is a state that humans have not invented a language yet to be able to describe that moment.
وأعلنت عجزها عن رسمه الأقلام,
and even the pens are unable to communicate this state or even describe it.
Then he says, no, we're going to share the secrets. He says, فإليك أيها المغرم المتيم.
So he's saying, now to you, the reader, he's saying to the reader, I'm offering you, if you have fallen in love with salah, I'm offering you هذه المفاتيح الستة, the six keys that you can enter into this state of connection with salah. Okay?
فهي أحسن الوسائل.
These are the best means. لأرقى الغايات. These are the best means to the highest aspirations and goals. That's basically salah.
خذها من أمير من أمراء الغرام.
Take it from one of the princes. One of the prince, the main prince of love. Who's this main prince? It's Ibn al-Qayyim. Okay?
خذها من أمير من أمراء الغرام.
وفارس من فرسان هذا المقام. And one of the main knights and soldiers of this beautiful love relationship. A man who's been in this love relationship with salah. So he knows what he's talking about.
له في فنون الحب شأن خطير.
This man has a very good reputation. He has a very good reputation in matters of love. So he's a famous lover. Lover of what? Lover of salah.
ولا ينبئك مثل خبير.
And no one can truly give you the best prescription than someone who's been through that experience. So take it from an expert.
المفتاح الأول,
the first key. He is saying it's the key of gratitude.
What does that mean? He says, وهو أن يشهد أن المنة لله سبحانه كونه أقامه في هذا المقام وأهله له ووفقه لقيام قلبه وبدنه في خدمته. فلولا الله سبحانه ما كان شيء من ذلك كما كان الصحابة يجدون بين يدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويقولون والله لولا الله ما اهتدينا ولا تصدقنا ولا صلينا.
Basically, that you should witness in your heart and experience fully that the salah is a gift from Allah, a blessing from Allah to you. I said in the khutbah, don't see that when you are performing your salah that you are on the giving end. You are on the receiving end. You're not offering Allah a favor. You're not giving Allah a favor, by the way, when you make salah. No, it's Allah that is giving you a favor that He allowed you to pray. So it's the other way around. So you see yourself as receiving this. That you have nothing to brag about, nothing to feel good about. But you just have to be thankful there. So you see that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought you to this position, allowed you to pray, and He has enabled you to perform this. And He says, had it not been for Allah, and had Allah not chosen you for this, you would not be praying. So it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that gave you this gift of salah. Just as the companions used to say in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, had it not been for Allah, we would not have been guided, we would not have given charity, and we would not have prayed. So they say, thank you Allah for all of these blessings. So when they do something, they see it's Allah doing them a favor. Subhanallah. Then he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Hujurat, يَمُنُّونَ عَلَيْكَ أَنْ أَسْلَمُوا قُلْ لَا تَمُنُّوا عَلَيَّ إِسْلَامَكُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاءَكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. You know, some of the Arabs came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, oh, we are Muslims, we do this and we do that and we perform this and we perform that. So they feel good about themselves, this self-righteousness, that they have done something for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, tell them, You know, don't count your blessings on me if you are following Islam. There's no blessings there. You're not offering me anything. He says, بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ. It's Allah, it's Allah's gift to you that you actually have believed or have accepted Iman, if you are truthful. So don't see yourself ever offering Allah something when you believe, or when you do something good, or when you pray for that matter. Don't see yourself in that at all. You forget yourself completely. The only way you see yourself is that you are actually getting a blessing from Allah, that Allah made you a Muslim, that Allah inspired you to pray, that Allah designed the prayer for you, that Allah allowed you to come and stand in His presence, and Allah accepts the prayer from you, and Allah pays attention as you are praying, and Allah rewards you for the prayer. So everything is from Allah. Everything, even your ability, your intention, your willingness to make salah is not even from you, it's from Allah. So basically, you have nothing to offer. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once you see this, your heart will melt in humbleness before Allah. Because you know you can't thank Allah enough. So what that does, it takes away your ego in salah, so you don't feel good about yourself. I'm making salah. But you feel all this blessing. Oh Allah, I thank you for this blessing. I feel grateful. I feel humbled. Because you are allowing me to do all of this. And you are inspiring me. And you have chosen me to be someone who prays. And you have guided me to it. And you are giving me the energy and the body to perform it. And the heart to be present in it. So I thank you. I want to express my gratitude in this moment in salah. So I am praying in thankfulness. I want to express my thankfulness. I channel that thankfulness through my performance of salah. That's the point here. So that's the first key. He says, وَمُشَاهَدَةُ مِنَّةِ اللَّهِ فِي هَذَا الْمَقَامِ تُنْزِلُ الْقَلْبَ فِي مَقَامِ الشُّكْرِ. He says, observing that the salah is a blessing from Allah to you, it's not something that you're offering Allah, it's a blessing from Allah to you, he says, it allows the heart to arrive at the station of thankfulness and gratitude, al-shukr. That realization takes your heart into a station of the heart that is called thankfulness. And he says, وَمَنْزِلَةُ الشُّكْرِ تَسْتَخْرِجُ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ أَحْسَنَ مَا فِيهِ مِنَ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ. And the station of thankfulness and shukr, it brings the best from the heart. So the heart gives its best when it, you know, enters that state of shukr and thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ دَوَاعِ الشُّكْرِ تُحَرِّكُ فِي الْقَلْبِ أَنْبَلَ مَكْنُونَاتِهِ. Because shukr, the state of thankfulness, it brings about the best juices from the heart. It brings from the heart the most noble parts of it, the most noble aspects of it. Okay, the second key, مَشْهَدُ الْإِخْلَاصِ, the key of sincerity. He says, وَهُوَ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْحَامِلَ عَلَيْهَا وَالدَّاعِيَ إِلَيْهَا رَغْبَةُ اللَّهِ فِي رَغْبَةُ الْعَبْدِ فِي اللَّهِ وَمَحَبَّتُهُ لَهُ. Basically, sincerity means that what drives you to pray, okay, what pushes you to pray is your love and your longing for Allah. That's what ikhlas is. So basically, you are praying in love. Because you feel so much love for Allah, you want to express that love, the best way is salah. It's the most expressive way to express your love for Allah, naturally, by fitrah. So that's why salah is very powerful. So that's what ikhlas means. Some people think ikhlas, oh, I'm going to do it for Allah. Yeah, it's not a mental thing. Ikhlas comes from love. So he's saying that what drives you to make this prayer is your love for Allah, your love for Allah, and the seeking and the eagerness to get Allah's pleasure, that Allah is pleased with you. So you want to get this by any means, and the best way to actually do this is the prayer. So you are praying in expression of your love for Allah and your longing to Him. That's it. That's what ikhlas means. He's saying, وَهَذَا أَكْبَرُ أَسْرَارِ الصَّلَةِ. And this is the biggest secret of salah.
This is the biggest secret in salah. Okay? بَلْ هُوَ سِرُّ الْحَيَاةِ This is the secret of life. The secret of life. وَمَنْ فَاتَهُ الْإِخْلَاصُ فَاتَهُ كُلُّ خَيْرٍ The one who doesn't get ikhlas, as we said, that comes from love for Allah, he has missed every good. That's it. He's missed everything, every goodness. He has missed every goodness. Okay. The third key. So we have two keys. The first one is gratitude, that you pray in gratitude. The second one is that you pray in love, which is sincerity. The third is mashhad al-taqsir. This is basically the key of falling short. Falling short. What does it mean? It means when you are praying, you have a realization that even if I offer my best prayer, and I physically do the prayer well, and mentally I put my focus, and I put my heart completely in the salah, and I experience the highest level of khushu', I still fail to give Allah His rights. I can't give Allah what He deserves. You can put it this way. Your best is not enough for Allah. Allah deserves more. Even if you offer your best salah ever, Allah still deserves far better and far more. This should not make you fall in despair, but basically it's a realization that Allah is far greater than whatever I can offer. So my best is never enough. So what does this help you do? That helps you humble yourself. Humble and never see that you paid Allah off. What does this give you? What else does it give you? It becomes a motivation for you to even do better. So I gave my best, or I had my best salah ever in my life. Now, my next salah, I'll make sure it's even better than the salah before. And so on and so forth. And I know I will never give Allah His right, but as long as I die striving, that's my journey. And that's my struggle. So these are very powerful keys, by the way. Now, to make it practical, once you start prayer, just as the muadhin is making the iqamah, try to put these in your mind. One of them at a time, one key at a time. So try with, gratitude. Say, in this salah, I'm going to live this salah, experience this salah in the feeling that this salah is a blessing from Allah. And everything about it is a blessing from Allah. And I just want to pray in thankfulness. I want to show Allah that I'm really thankful and I appreciate this beautiful gift of salah. This beautiful miracle. I want to show Allah that I am thankful. So I'm going to appreciate it. And I'm going to pray this salah in this spirit. And see how your salah will be. You're going to have a different quality of your salah. Very powerful. Another salah, say, I'm going to do this salah in love for Allah. So Allah, I love you. I want to go back to you on the day of judgment and be close to you. And live my life there in Jannah, be able to see your face and converse with you. I just want to be close to you. That's all I want. And because of that love, and I'm going to express that love by making this salah. So I'm going to pray the salah in love for you, oh Allah. I want you to feel the love. And see how this salah is going to be different as well. A third salah, what you can make is basically, See the greatness of Allah. That no matter how good my salah is, I will never be able to give Allah what He deserves. So, oh Allah, I humble myself before You. So you pray this third salah, let's say, in this kind of spirit. Oh Allah, I'm offering my best. That's the best that I can in this moment. So please accept it from me. You deserve far better, but accept it from me. And I know that I will never be able to give you your right or to match what you truly deserve. And feel Allah's blessing that even though you're not giving Allah what He deserves, He still accepts the prayer from you. Let's move on to the fourth key. المفتاح الرابع مشهد الصدق والنصح وهو أن يفرغ قلبه لله فيها ويستفرغ جهده فيها في إقباله على الله وجمع قلبه عليه وإيقاعها على أحسن الوجوه وأكملها ظاهرا وباطنا. Basically, مشهد الصدق والنصح, this is basically to do your salah in truthfulness. How can we put this in English? Put your heart in the salah. Put your heart in this salah. So pray the best salah of your life now. Pray the best salah in your life now. Basically, leave no effort. Leave nothing you can do except that you invested in salah to make a masterpiece and offer it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now in the salah that you are praying. That basically means putting your heart in it. Put your heart and soul in the salah. Then because he says that you strive to perform the salah as best as possible in all parameters. External, like physical, and inner in terms of the experience of your heart. So you are present and you are experiencing spiritually. Okay. The fifth key, المفتاح الخامس, مشهد المتابعة والاقتداء. Okay, this is the physical vessel of salah. Basically, following the Prophet ﷺ in salah. That means you learn the salah, how the Prophet ﷺ prayed it, okay, the manner of prayer, and you keep to it. So you pray as the Prophet ﷺ prayed physically. That's the physical vessel. And that vessel is very conducive and helpful for you to experience salah fully. Okay? That's the fifth. The sixth and the last one is al-ihsan. Al-ihsan. What's al-ihsan? It's basically you reach a point where you pray your salah, feeling in your heart the presence of Allah. And that's what ihsan. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. That you worship Allah as if you see Him. You are so aware and mindful of Allah and connected to Allah, okay, that you get to a state where as if you are actually seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're so aware of Allah as if you see Him. As if Allah is visible to you. That's what it means. When something is visible to you, you cannot ignore it, right? You cannot forget about it. You cannot grow heedless. So you are so aware of Allah and connected to Allah and conscious of Allah to an extent as if you are actually seeing Him. You get to that state of certainty with Allah. So that basically when you pray, you feel Allah is observing you. In your heart you see Allah, not with your eyes. Okay, so that's not a vision. That's an experience of the heart. You're so conscious of Allah in your heart. That's the most difficult and that's the highest. And the more you work on the other five, the easier this becomes. This is more of the icing on the cake that comes after the hard work. This is why ihsan is the highest level in the deen. It comes with so much work, so much dedication, so much connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so I think that's enough, inshallah. Any questions? Who found something resonated with them? Something they actually... What did you find that was something that stuck in your head? Okay, that's something that I'm going to try.
Alhamdulillah, good learning, but how do you get there? Like, for a guy like me, I feel like I have nothing. You know, because you're concentrating on prayer and doing all those things and being sincere. You know, how do you achieve what you're saying? Like, you know, darkness in the heart, what do I need to do to get to where I need to be? in terms of salah only. Like,
as simple as that. When you come to the prayer, okay, leave the world behind, okay, it's only Allah and you, and once you do the salah, just be mindful of Allah, that you are now standing in the presence of Allah, and Allah is observing you. And He's listening to you, and He sees you. If you pray in that spirit, slowly, slowly, you're going to find yourself getting into these issues. That's it. As simple as that. Alhamdulillah. Question?
In the explanation, you the example of
Sa'id ibn Musayyib. Yes.
We could understand his level of understanding all this, but how do we connect that to the source in the Quran or in the Sunnah or in the Hadith of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? This piece, this part.
I'm just trying to think of something. Okay. Basically, the question is, Sa'id ibn Musayyib said that some people, Al-Hasan al-Basri and Sa'id ibn Musayyib, who pray at night and they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, there's light on their face as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where do we find something like this or something about this in the Quran and the Sunnah? The Prophet ﷺ, there's a couple of a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ where he says, there are people that when you see them, they remind you of Allah. There are people, and these are righteous people. When you see them, you just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the sense, their state and how they are, even their face, because they have so much love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you just realize it. When you see them, they remind you of Allah. They remind you of righteousness. So that's a hadith. مَنْ إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُ ذَكَّرَكَ بِاللَّهِ. And another hadith, there are people that when you hear the recitation, مَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتَهُ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ ذَكَرْتَ اللَّهِ. Some people, you hear the recitation of the Qur'an, you just remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that doesn't have to be directly, like not everything, like, oh, where's the proof for this in the Qur'an and the Sunnah? Where's the proof for this? There are things that are logical and taken from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. So, for example, can't you tell at a basic level, if someone is honest and righteous, and there are exceptions, some people can really fool others, yeah, they can pretend. But for most people, if someone is dodgy and they've done a lot of bad things in their life, most likely you're going to have a feeling towards them. We call it the sixth sense, right? Or intuition. That's just a common human experience.
Charlie, the reason for my question is not to check whether...
I understand.
What Sayyid said.
Yeah, yeah. And you just wanted a connection to the Quran.
Yeah, because I knew somebody when I was growing up. To me, I never seen a face like that person so far. That's what I witnessed.
Okay.
But then I didn't know what it was.
Subhanallah. Actually, as you're talking now, I just remembered something. Ibn Abbas, when he makes tafsir of سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة. Okay, سورة الفتح. سورة الفتح وسورة محمد. سورة محمد. Yes, the end of سورة محمد. سورة الفتح. Yes, سورة الفتح. Basically about the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود. The sign is on their face because of their sujood. Some of the Mufassirin, they said, this is basically that dark spot here from some people who pray excessively. Ibn Abbas says, no. He says, that's the light on the face of the people who make sujood for Allah. It's the brightness on their face. That's Ibn Abbas. So that's the connection to the Qur'an. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. So their sign of sujood is on their face. So Ibn Abbas, who's among the most knowledgeable of the Qur'an, basically says that's the light on their face because of their sujood for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah.
So, I don't know where I get that information, that the one I just mentioned.
Which is?
The person. He used to deal mostly with kids. Most of the time, when there are kids, he used to play with kids. But with adults, not that much. He used to be in a lot of...
I don't know. I have to see him. Is he dead now?
Yeah, long time.
Rahmatullahi.
Yeah. I was trying to make connection.
I have to make an inspection to be able to to be able to give an answer. But Allahu A'lam. I don't really know. Allahu A'lam. Wa iyyak. No questions? Okay.
Yes.
I just had a quick question regarding the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, which said the thing that differentiates the Muslim from the kafir. I don't remember the exact wording, but basically the thing that differentiates the Muslim from the kafir is the salah. So does this mean that the salah, if the person who neglects the salah is a kafir or he falls into disbelief, or does that mean the person that disbelieves
okay, the issue of the one who doesn't pray, that's a big debate among the scholars. So a person who says salah is not an obligation is not a Muslim, is not Muslim. Okay, that's done. Except for small, very limited cases. Okay, but generally speaking, someone who denies the obligation of salah is not considered to be Muslim. Now we're talking about someone who doesn't pray just because he doesn't feel like it. Or feels lazy, right? He's not motivated to do it. That's where the debate of the scholars has been. Is he really truly a kafir? Or is the action of not making salah is kufr, but the person is not necessarily a kafir? It's a big issue of debate. I personally lean towards that he's not necessarily a kafir. He's not necessarily a kafir, but the scholars said this person is on the verge of kufr. Because truly, like, it's unimaginable someone that truly loves Allah and is connected to Allah, and they find it hard to pray. And they know that salah is an obligatory. It's really hard to experience this. But can, for me, can you make someone who doesn't pray, you make takfir of him? I find this such a far, you know, fetched kind of place to be in. Yeah. Yeah, barakallahu fik. Okay, jazakum. Yeah, okay. We'll take one last question. Go ahead. Closing their eyes. Okay. Basically saying some people find it easy to have khushu' if they close their eyes in salah. Now the Prophet's prayer was described. There's in detail. There's nothing about closing the eyes. So it seems the Prophet ﷺ did not close his eyes in salah. It seems the case. And there are some remote indications. How? Because, for example, you have the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, if you're in salah and you see a scorpion, kill it. You're in salah, so basically, cut off your salah, leave it, kill that scorpion, and complete your salah. You can't see a scorpion unless your eyes are open in salah, right? So that's a remote indication. That's a remote indication. So we say, ideally, you shouldn't. You shouldn't close your eyes. But the scholars also have debated. Some of them said it's not a big issue. But also the Prophet ﷺ, when he prayed, he kept his eyesight when he was standing on the place of his sujood, the spot where he put his forehead. So that's also important. So some scholars say you should not close your eyes at all. You're not allowed to close your eyes. Some scholars said it's not a big issue. Some scholars said it's okay. Like Imam al-Nawawi said, if you can only find khushu' if you close your eyes, do it. But some other scholars say no, like Sheikh Ibn Baz says, no, you can't close your eyes. You should not close your eyes in salah. So, and there are scholars in between. So what I would say, at least in the five daily prayers, obligatory prayers, try to keep your eyes open. If you're doing sunnah, it's much easier. It's much easier. You want to close them and so you feel a bit more khushu'. That's easier. But in the obligatory salah, I would prefer not to. I would prefer not to. But do I go to the extent that I say it's haram? I don't take that stance, personally.
As an extension of that, sorry. How about if there are activities or something on one side, on the left or the right?
Yeah.
To avoid that, if you close one, not...
Okay, the Prophet ﷺ was praying in his house, Aisha's room. Mm-hmm. So she had like a curtain,
yeah,
or something, right? A piece of cloth that was covering like the wardrobe. And it had some shapes in it. So the Prophet ﷺ, what did he do? He was praying salah, so he moved towards it and he ripped it. And then he completed his salah. He did not even close his eyes. So I would say... yeah, because it was distracting him,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so I don't know what you want to do.
Yeah.
But believe me, if you are really focused on salah, the more engaged, you would actually, distractions would be less intrusive. Okay? طيب. خلاص. إن شاء الله. بارك الله فيكم. صلى الله عليه وسلم. سيدنا محمد وعليه الصلاة والسلام.